the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels gives us another opportunity to reflect on this beautiful dimension of God's creation and God's plan, the spirit world. And we spoke about this, of course, a couple of days ago for the Feast of the three archangels. And even on that feast day, we couldn't help but think about the whole angelic world and the spiritual battle. But this feast day focuses on the angels who have this very particular task of watching over us. So it's nice to have another opportunity, another feast day in honor of the angels. Although not everyone thinks like that. You probably don't pay any attention to the talk in the back rooms of seminaries and schools of theology, but if you ever get to hear theologians, they argue about this sort of thing. This is kind of like shop talk, I suppose, among theologians. But theologians are not so enthusiastic about feast days in honor of angels. In fact, they're not always so sure about angels. It's kind of strange that people responsible for studying the faith and transmitting the faith sometimes don't seem to have very much faith. But anyway, it happened over the past, maybe a couple hundred years, that the theological approach to angels weakened. And especially with scientific study of the scriptures, or the historical critical approach to the scriptures, the texts were looked at as human texts to be analyzed with human means. And a lot of the scholars approached the texts without any idea of supernatural work. So miracles they considered not just stories and different things that are beyond the scientific explanation. They just automatically discount them. So angels got kind of thrown out by those people. It is true, though, that there is a lot of ambiguity in the scriptural references to angels. The word angel in the Hebrew is the same as the word for messenger. So when you read a passage that mentions a messenger, it's not always clear if it's a human messenger or a spiritual messenger. It's not always clear. So the scholars are right about that. In fact, sometimes it's not even clear if it's a man speaking, an angel speaking, or God speaking. Now, that doesn't trouble me at all, because we're talking about a mysterious realm, and we're not very good at discerning the distinctions like that. It's probably better that there be some ambiguity, because it humbles us and leaves us with a bit of uncertainty. But it's not that we have uncertainty about the existence of angels. No, it's a truth of the faith. But we're not always sure if it's an angel, or if it's a person who's sent by God, or if it's God speaking to our conscience, it's our own conscience, or it's not always clear. And that's okay. It's okay. Think of, for example, since we're talking about guardian angels, you think of moments when you are aware that you need to do something. Well, how did you get that sense? Was it the Holy Spirit? Was it your guardian angel? Was it one of the saints? Was it your own conscience? Let's say, for example, you have the sense you've got to get to confession. You really have to get to confession. Well, that's your own conscience. But what's enlivening the conscience? Could be your guardian angel. You know, the guardian angels certainly are overlooking our spiritual and sacramental life. So just an example. Okay, so in the world of scholars, angels have lost some of their favor. And so the liturgists, at the time of the revision of the liturgical calendar, some liturgists were saying we shouldn't have this feast, because we're not even sure if they exist. And there's no scripture passage that says every single person has an angel. It's not an absolute scriptural doctrine. But the church, of course, won out and said, no, we have to have this one. We have to have liturgical way of celebrating the angels. It's nice to have these two feasts together because it reinforces what we were reflecting on back on September 29th. The disadvantage, though, is that we don't have any more focus on the angels for the rest of the year. And that leaves us, I think, at a disadvantage. Well, at Christmas time, certainly we remember the angels because the angels appeared to the shepherds. Well, first an angel, and then a whole choir of angels appeared to the shepherds. Okay, so you remember, oh yes, angels we have heard on high. Were any of those angels the guardian angels of the shepherds? Probably. We don't know. And then when we get to the Annunciation or the infancy stories, yes, angels are active, Angel Gabriel especially. But for the most part, we're not thinking that much about angels, and so we kind of forget their work. They don't seem to mind it. It's not as if our guardian angels keep telling us that they're there, but they are there. That's why one of the practices that the church recommends is the daily prayer to the guardian angel. Angel of God, my guardian dear. That's a nice devotion. But not only in the church has there been some fluctuation in the strength of devotion to the angels, but even in the secular world, the understanding of angels seems to have changed and diminished. In the earlier times, earlier centuries, it was taken for granted that there are angels. Everybody knew that there were angels. Their angels are in the scriptures all the time, so why would you ever have any question about it? And then even in, I say, popular secular culture, up until a few years ago, angels had a generally good presentation. Think of, for example, that movie, a Christmas movie. What is it? It's A Wonderful Life. A Wonderful Life? Yes. A Wonderful Life. It's A Wonderful Life. I mean, it's not a religious movie and it's not a religious message, but there's an angel who's kind of a bumbling good guy, but at least it's something positive. Clarence, I think, is his name. Clarence. Or there's a television show about 25, 30 years ago, Touched by an Angel. You know, that kind of thing. So angels were seen as at least a good thing. Generally positive. But as time has gone on, it seems to me, now I'm no expert in this, but it seems to me the popular culture has turned any spiritual force into evil powers. Like there's a lot of evil creatures, and in the world of fantasy and modern entertainment, you don't hear that much about really good, all good angels. Or anything that's beyond nature is in the realm of comic books. So superheroes, they're not angels. But that's it. See, the popular imagination is actually getting smaller because it doesn't pay any attention to God, and it's not that open to the idea of pure, good, powerful spirits, which is what angels are. Okay. I said there's no scriptural passage that says clearly that everyone has an angel. That is the faith of the church. But there is this passage, which I just read. This is the gospel chosen for this feast day, Matthew chapter 18, where it says that little ones have angels. This is the clearest reference to angels being assigned to people, at least in a category of people, and that is the little ones. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Little ones have angels, so don't despise the little ones. Okay, it's a pretty good passage, and there's a lot to it. There's a disadvantage in that it gives the impression to the more secular type thinking that angels are for children. Angels are a concern that children believe in angels, and when you grow up, well, you don't need them anymore. And that's certainly not true. And it's not the meaning of the passage. But it does say that little ones have angels. One of the things that it reveals here is that the angels, even though we say that the little ones have angels, the one thing that the verse says the angels are doing is that they are looking upon the face of my heavenly Father. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? They're assigned to the little ones, but they're looking upon the face of the Heavenly Father. This kind of dual dimension of what a guardian angel does. Always looking upon the face of the Father, always attentive to the will of the Father, and at the same time fulfilling their function, their mission of guarding the little ones. In the scriptures, the by far dominant representation of angels is that they are servants of God. They are ministers of God. Whenever there's a vision of God, and angels are in the vision, there's millions of angels, and they're all at the service of God. And this is a good reminder to us that the angels are God's angels. They do God's will. When we reflect now on our guardian angels, we should never think that they're ours in the sense that pets are ours, or employees are ours, or workers or servants are ours, slaves are ours. No, they're God's angels. God is the one who gives them their assignment, and he's the one who says, guard this person. So yes, we do have an angel, but not in the sense of a possession. And we can't command an angel with any kind of authority any more than a child can command a guardian to do something. Now, a child can say to a guardian, a human guardian, please can I have this? And the guardian can determine whether it's a good thing or not. But it's not a master. The child is not the master of the guardian. So a reminder to us that even though we have an angel, we don't possess or control the angel. We can make requests of our guardian angels. This is clear in the lives of the saints. Saint Padre Pio comes to mind. He used to send his guardian angel to minister to people. And other saints have had this awareness that you can make a request of your guardian angel, because after all, he is a very close attendant, a very close friend, and a person who really does want what's best for us and wants what's best for those whom we love. So we can make that request. It's hard for us to know how it plays out, but as long as we don't think that our guardian angel is our, Lala Mu messenger, or somebody that we can just tell what to do, Ankas or whatever these, messengers like that. Okay, let's go back to the scripture. Their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my Heavenly Father. So the angels are 100% committed to doing the will of God. And God is 100% committed to our eternal life. That's why it goes together. God can make the request or give the command to the angels to do his will on our behalf. And the more we think about that, wow, the better it is. What a beautiful thing it is that God would assign us. It's purely out of his generosity and his graciousness that he would give us this personal attendant. But for us to get the benefit of that guidance, that protection, we have to be little ones. We have to be little. We can't outgrow our dependence on God, and we can't outgrow our need for angelic protection. Even in heaven, we'll still have a guardian angel, but we'll be united with all the angels and saints in glorifying God. We won't need protection in the way we do now. So, but while we're on this earth, we need this help. We certainly need it. We spoke the other day about the spiritual battle. That's one of the reasons why we need a guardian angel, because we have spiritual enemies. But here we're focusing on our spiritual allies. There's a lot of traditions in the church about what the angels do, aside from our guardian angels. There are angels, for example, assigned to certain structures, like countries have angels, cities have angels, places have angels. Certain roles have angels. They say there's an angel assigned at marriage to protect the marriage. There's an angel assigned to priests so that to protect and guide their priestly ministry. In fact, there's angels associated with all the sacraments. That's part of the tradition, for sure, the Eucharist. Wherever the Eucharist is, there are countless angels in adoration. At every Mass, there are countless angels gathered in adoration. There are more angels here than there are human beings, that's for sure. So that's a good thing to be aware of. But at every sacrament, at baptism, I mentioned confession. What moves us to go to confession? Our angel. What about confirmation? Angels are involved, marriage, the anointing of the sick, angels. And you pick out all the sacraments, you say, well, because these are, and the reason I mention the sacraments is because they are both visible and invisible, right? Visible sign, invisible grace. And angels are on the invisible side, ministers of grace, messengers of God's grace. So it's just good to keep those things in mind. But we need to be little in order to welcome things that are beyond us, things that are mysterious to us. So let's humble ourselves. And with grateful hearts and with simple hearts, with faithful hearts, let us welcome the ministry, the protection of our holy guardian angels.